you know, analytical study, right? So what's the conclusion of Sankhya Yoga? What do you do? What conclusion do you come after doing the Sankhya Yoga?
Distinguish between spirit and material.
Yeah.
Spirit and matter.
Yeah. Then what's the conclusion of it? If I study Sankhya Yoga or if I do analytical study, so you come to some conclusion. You do study the difference, you know, differentiate between spirit matter. Mm-hmm. But what's the conclusion?
We are not body, but spirit.
It's only that. Yeah, that's also good. But conclusion?
We don't need the lamination.
Like we find the root. Right? We are eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can come to a conclusion that Vishnu or Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a Sankhya Yoga. You do analytical study, you come to the conclusion that there is a Supreme Lord. So you conclude that. But then the continuation of that is Buddhi Yoga. So once you find the root, what do you do with the root? So you water the root. So then that Buddhi Yoga is, so you find the root, then you water the root. For us, water the root means we engage in the service. So then that becomes the devotional service. So otherwise, just stopping at Sankhya Yoga, you will not gain anything.
It's more academic.
Yeah, it's more of a knowledge, right? So you can become a Jnana Yogi or somebody. Mm. But for us, it's more than that. Bhagavad Gita talks more than that. So then we go to the Buddhi Yoga. Then also we discussed Karma Kanda, right? The Vedas and all, especially we discussed about Vedas. So those are the, I think, 40 many verses we discussed about Vedas. And what's the purpose of Vedas? We discussed that also, right? So that was 45, right?
To get above three modes.
So the 44 was in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord doesn't take place. So what are the two things?
Bhoga
and Aishwarya. And last week we discussed that, you know, all of us, we are somewhere the other, we are inclined to one of this. Mm-hmm. Subtly or, you know, gross way, we are still in this category. So that's why we don't get the taste. We don't have the taste for devotional service. So it's a gradual progress. So once, you know, so Prabhupada gives example, you know, if you have a cup of milk, or I think he says water. So if you want to fill with the milk, so you keep pouring it slowly, right? You keep pouring the milk. Gradually, you know, the water goes out and you finally at some point of time you get a milk, full cup of milk. Like that, our consciousness is fully contaminated now. Because we are all, you know, all the time we are engaging in with the three modes. Anytime, you know, we come across three modes or different categories of people we deal. So automatically, and also, you know, we don't know how many, you know, the previous lives, you know, we have all so much of contamination. So it takes time. So that's why Krishna consciousness is a gradual process. You don't see it, you know, immediate effect. It's not like that. Prabhupada says, you know, after the girl gets married, so she cannot immediately demand to have a child. She takes at least, you know, 9 months to 1 year. So like that, Krishna consciousness also, it takes time because it has to purify our consciousness. So it's a gradual progress. And we should be able to, you know, introspect whenever any activity we do, are we engaging in any of this, like anything, you know, sense enjoyment for our self, right? Sense gratification. So are we doing anything? For example, for us especially, you know, the eating, usually we tend to eat immediately. Anything we see, you put it directly in the mouth. So you can start in that level actually. So you always think, I should offer and eat. So then you bring your tongue under control. Because the tongue is the most ferocious thing. Once you control the tongue, what's the effect of the tongue? Once you control the tongue,
food gets controlled, then other stuff.
So how does it work? Logically, how it works? Once you control the tongue, what happens to the next thing? We discuss this.
Stomach gets controlled.
Yeah.
Then the other senses.
Especially the genitals. Because they are in the line. If you notice, tongue. So that's why, you know, passion. If you eat a lot of spicy, you know, it's the passion. Then automatically, you know, you want to fill your tummy. Then the next thing is you want to engage in sense gratification. So Prabhupada very clearly says it's a logical thing. It's in a line, sequence, line. So that's very important to... Because that's easy for us to, you know, because eating, you know, everybody wants to eat something where outside or here something. So first step is to start that. You see, you know, before you take, did we offer this? It's not offered means we are kind of engaging in sense gratification, which is not offered. That's the starting point, but you can remember these are the, you know, for us, for the improvement, we can improve slowly. And material opulence, no doubt. You know, we are always trying to accumulate things, you know, whether at home or money or anything. No, we don't have to get, it's not a negative, don't take it as a negative thing. It's a block on our spiritual path. But gradually when you put lot of positive things, the negative things will disappear. So you don't have to, you know, get scared or worried. So it will go automatically, but you practice the positive thing. You engage in positive things. Once you get the knowledge, automatically you will only lose the taste. You will give up actually. Because that's what Prabhupada is saying, or Krishna is saying, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place if we don't control this too. And then text 45, we discuss about, like, you know, the Vedas. Again, the Vedas deal mainly with the subject matter of the three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be from all, free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety. And be established in the self. So what is the meaning of be established in the self? We discussed last week. What does that mean? Established in the self.
Inquire about it.
Yeah, that's inquiry. But what's that to inquiry? Or what's the... See, we are not body. So what is that self? We are saying be established
soul.
In the self.
Yeah.
Soul. So we have to realize. Right? That's the whole thing. So we should know that we are, no, we are the part and parcel. We are the eternal servants of the... That's our eternal constitutional position. And any other points? Did we discuss anything else? 46? 45? We already discussed this in the purport. Prabhupada, so as long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions. What's the solution for the actions and reactions?
Self-realization. No, put everything to Krishna. Just everything service to Krishna, therefore there is no karma actions.
So we have to tolerate, and once you engage in any devotional service, that's a karma. You don't get any actions or reactions for that. So
You don't accumulate any karma.
So Prabhupada said, even though we are not pure, but you come to temple and do some service and all, basically you are not getting anything. You are doing a karma. You are on the spiritual platform actually. When you do any service, you are on the spiritual platform. Because material platform means you always get reactions and actions. Actions and reactions. So, and what about text 46? All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. So how do we know what's the purpose of the Vedas? What's the reference?
15:15.
What does it say? 15:15.
Krishna is the Veda.
Yeah, at the end of the
he is the knower of the. He is a compiler and he is the knower of the Vedas. Right? So if we know, that's the goal. So why to engage in, you know, because the Vedas mostly, you know, it describes 90, I think, I don't know percentage, but I think it said, right, mostly we read that. Mostly Vedas discusses about the karmakanda activities. So knowing that, why should we engage? So we can, you know, if you know the goal, if somebody gives you the goal, why don't you take it and practice? But we don't have the faith. That's the problem.
Probably the text is kind of a bit confusing.
Which
it says all 46? The purposes, yes, served by a small well can be served by a greater reservoir.
Hmm.
Similarly, all the purposes of Vedas can be served by one, or is it by instead of two? To one who knows the purpose behind them, like it is.
Yeah, one who knows the purpose behind them.
I think there is a
served by.
By, it should be by.
Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose. What's your translation?
Or served for one. Either it's for or by. For seems small.
No, what does your translation
ask? Served to one, because person is trying to read Vedas, to know the Vedas, right? Then say, if you know, like at the end of the day, you want to know Krishna, then the very purpose of Vedas will be served to that particular person. So,
yeah, this is person who is approaching the Vedas to know something. It's talking about the
instead
subject
of
here.
Reading all the Vedas and
okay.
And what was the example we discussed last week for that small reservoir? I think we read from Burijan Prabhu's, I think, right? Like the olden age, we used to have different wells for different things, right? That's what we read, if we remember. Now for washing, they used to go to one well, for drinking water, one well. So we had to go to a different well. Instead of that, there is a stream of water which is flowing. If you go there, you can do all your activities. So you don't have to jump. So same thing here in Vedas, you know, instead of jumping here and there for so many, because it has that diverse, Vedas is that diverse for to, you know, cater to so many people. So instead of that, you can directly go to the goal of the Vedas. Like, you know, Upanishads and all, we discussed that, right? Bhagavad Gita is part of the Upanishad, Mahabharata. So Prabhupada says, so one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas without being attached to the rituals only, and must not desire to elevate it to heavenly kingdoms for the quality of sense gratification. And we also know that it's difficult in this age, right? Especially to follow the Vedic rituals. It's very difficult. First of all, we cannot acquire all the things which needs to perform the ritual process. And then even if you acquire, then you won't find the qualified person to do the rituals. So you are just, you know, taking chances. You know, you'll never fulfill the desires behind you. And he very clearly says it requires much time, energy, knowledge and resources. So we don't have any of it to do it. The best purpose of Vedic culture is served over by chanting the holy name of the Lord, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls. And we discussed about one pastime, right? Prakashananda Saraswati. He was from Saraswati Sampradaya. He was a very big Vedantist, no, impersonal Vedantist. Then he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Lord himself, and the purpose, the Prakashananda Saraswati he was doing was, they get attracted to the effulgence, impersonal people, right? They want to go to the Brahma Jyoti. So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on the floor where, you know, because he is from different Sampradaya, I don't know which Sampradaya, so Prakashananda Saraswati, they are from different Sampradaya, they are higher caste like that. So they were all sitting on the elevated platform. But Chaitanya Prabhu said, I'm not qualified to sit on that platform. So he was sitting on the where, you know, on the ground. Then, but he was, his body was, you know, emanating that effulgence. Then he got attracted because that was the purpose they wanted, actually. That's what they, you know, practice for meditate on. So immediately they got attracted. Then he came and, you know, he requested Chaitanya Prabhu to sit with them. Then Chaitanya Prabhu told, no, I'm not qualified to sit with you. And he asked, why don't you study Vedanta instead of chanting the holy name? And you, like, you know, madman, you keep dancing, you chant. Why don't you study with us? Basically knowledge. Where do you get knowledge? Chaitanya Prabhu told, you know, I'm not qualified. My spiritual master told, I'm not qualified to study the scripture because I'm a fool number one. So he told me to chant. And I just followed the rule, whatever he told, the instruction, and I have become madman. Basically with the prema, love of God. So then of course after that Chaitanya Prabhu defeated him. They discussed and you know. So that's what here is saying. So if you know the goal of the Vedanta also, if to achieve the, go back to Godhead, so why don't we just, you know, we don't have to experiment. Prabhupada, the whole point is, it already the research is being done. So we don't have to go and research again to, you know, find the goal. So it's already there, just take and practice. And the last, that's very important. So in this age of Kali, most of the population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of the Lord. Vedanta is the last word in Vedic wisdom, and the author and knower of Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna. And the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of all the Vedic mysticism. So person who has taken, you know, chanting, all those things, so basically they have already gone through this knowledge and all. You don't have to study, you know. We have already gone through it. We may not know, but whoever take up the devotional service in their previous lives and all, we have already covered all the things. That's what Prabhupada is saying. It's a great soul who takes pleasure in the chanting. So we'll go, any questions so far? I think we stopped at 46, we'll go to 47. So this particular verse is, I was hearing to one lecture. So they told in, especially in India, this text 47 and one first line is very, very popular in India. So everybody quotes this one verse, one line actually. It said 1/4, 3/4 they never quote. So they always quote this one line and they use it as, you know, reference from Bhagavad Gita. They're using out of context. And they try to, you know, as a reference, they refer to this particular one. Bhagavad Gita says this, so I'm following this. But they are forgetting the 3/4 of the words. They don't, you know, context. They don't take the full context. So let's see what does it discuss. It's very important one also. Karmani evadikarasse ma phaleshu kadachana मा कर्म फल हेतुर्गुण मा ते संगोस्त्व अकर्मणि कर्मणि अधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्म फल हेतुर्गुण मा ते संगोस्त्व अकर्मणि.
You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty.
So what does the first line? Karmani eva adhikaraste. So that means in prescribed duties, karmani eva, certainly right to perform your duty, right? First line is that one. So you have a right to perform your prescribed duty. So that's where they stop usually. So that's, it's a very common conception that this is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. This particular one line, they say that's the essence of Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada says, this is people's conception. People think like that. But Prabhupada very clearly says, if you go to 11, 55. Text 11, 55, 56 verse.
Oh man.
So I'll just read the purport, Prabhupada here. Anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet, the spiritual sky, and be intimately connected with the supreme personality, Krishna, must take this formula, as stated by the supreme himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
So we should believe the author, Prabhupada, whatever he is giving. Or, you know, general, see, Prabhupada is clearly saying here only, this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
And of course, we can also say the 1866, Sarva Dharma Parityajaya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Right?
Yeah.
Just surrender unto me, I will protect from all the sinful death. That's Krishna promises. But what's wrong with this one? You have a right to perform your prescribed duty. Because it says, you know, work, people say, right? Work hard. That's what here, in particular in the US and all, you work hard day and night, right? Work is worship. That we know, that's a concept people follow. But then the next line it says, Ma Faleshu Kadachan. But you are not entitled to the
fruits. So you're not coming and you don't get any results. Don't worry about it.
And never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. And never be attached to not doing. So here in action also, Krishna is, you know, making sure he's clearing all the angles, right? He's making sure all the angles. So some people can say, I'm not going to do anything. Like in action basically. And here it says, never be attached to not doing your duty also. Right? You have, as a human being, we are supposed to do our prescribed duty. So we cannot avoid our prescribed duty. Everybody has prescribed duty, right? What's Varnashrama Dharma? Varna and Ashrama, right? What's Varna? What are the four Varnas? So,
Brahmana,
Brahmana, Vaishya and Shudra. So we, all of us, we fall in one of this category. So every this category has prescribed duty. So we cannot say, you know, I will be inactive, like, you know, I will not do anything. I will be, you know, inaction. That won't work. Okay, we can read.
There are three considerations here. Prescribed duties, capricious work and inaction. Prescribed duties are activities enjoined in terms of one's acquired modes of material nature. Capricious work means actions without the sanction of the of authority, and inaction means not performing one's prescribed duties.
So here, right, the three things whatever we discuss. So first one is prescribed duties, which you do according to the scriptures. So that's basically karma kanda process. So karma yogis are one who actually, karma kanda is different from karma yogis. Actually, karma yogis are one who really do the work, but they get detached from the results. That's one. Then the other one is capricious work. Capricious work is they don't follow any rules and regulations. You know, you just you do it whatever you want to do. You don't follow any rules and regulations. So that's one thing. And then next one is, so the work can be done in any of these three categories. It falls in one of. And the other one is inaction. And inaction means not performing one's prescribed duties.
The Lord advised that Arjuna not be inactive, but that he performs his prescribed duty without being attached to the result. One who is attached to the result of his work is also the cause of the reaction. One who is attached to the result of his work is also the cause of the reaction. Thus he is the enjoyer or sufferer of the result of such action. As far as prescribed duties are concerned, they can be fitted into three subdivisions, namely routine work, emergency work and desired activities. Routine work performed as an obligation in terms of the scriptural injunctions without desire for results, in action in the mode of goodness, sorry, his action is a mode of action. I'll read again.
Routine work perform.
Sorry?
We can read that again. Routine work perform.
Routine work performed as an obligation in terms of the scriptural injunctions without desire for results is action in the mode of goodness. Work results become the cause of bondage. Therefore, such work is not auspicious. Everyone has his proprietary right in regard to prescribed duties, but should act without attachment to the result. Such disinterested obligatory duties doubtlessly lead one to the path of liberation.
Okay, Prabhu, we can stop here. Looks like this is related to work, right?
So
everyone of us work.
He says work with results becomes the cause of bondage. But it's actually the work if you are attached to the results of the work, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Fruits, yeah. If you are attached to the fruits.
The results are okay.
Yeah, the results. If you are attached to the results, of course it's
but
a bondage.
But every work will have some result. But don't be attached to the result.
Yes,
that's
what detach. That's why. So every one of us, we work, right?
Mm.
So are we getting getting liberated? Are we on the path of liberation? Or are we becoming more entangled in the
So it's like kind of catch 22, right? So to work with only if you work with your heart and soul, if you put that, only then you'll do the work well. Once you put that, you know, you're like, okay, what's going to happen now is what?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. So that's why what Prabhupada formula is, it's not that once you take into spiritual path, you become, you know, lazy kind of person. So actually you work more intensely. For example, so that's why this is very important for us. So work means, so if you work 8 hours efficiently, that's good enough to maintain the family or, you know, to lead the life. So you don't need to work 12 hours or 14 hours or 18 hours. That means you know we are going somewhere. What are we going to do there? So main purpose is, if you are not yourself and family members, you are not making them Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, then what's the purpose? First of all, we need to understand what's the goal of life. Of course, people who doesn't know goal of life, they will engage that you cannot help anything. But once we have the knowledge, then you do whatever you. So, for example, 8 hours, as you said, you have to work hard and, of course, intelligently, efficiently and intelligently. You work 8 hours. Then, that's all. That's your duty according to this one. That's all. You do work, but then you get detached from the results. So, for example, the student. If you take a student, so student has to work very hard, right? Your exams and all. But then he works hard, then once he gets a result, if he gets good grade, it's good. If he doesn't get good grade, if he has put the effort, then he can leave up to Krishna. He cannot do anything, he cannot change, because already we are destined to get some results. You know, the like happiness or distress, it's already in our bucket. How much ever happiness or how much ever distress is already, it's already in a bucket. Even if you don't try, automatically you will get your whatever is in your destiny, you will get it.
So then why work at all?
No?
Then why work?
Then you will become inactive, you are not doing your prescribed duty.
You know, Prabhu, what I am asking is that if I am just pointing out that if you don't do anything and you are still guaranteed something because of your past karma, then why do something at all? If you just
no, then
quietly,
because
then
according
keep
to
coming,
this you
right?
cannot be in inaction also, right? You will work anyway, you cannot live without working. You have to do some action.
Theoretically, if you just sit down here, right, and whatever I'm supposed to get, I'm going to get, and just have
cannot stay. You will. You cannot stay.
No, I understand that. Well, that's why I'm saying.
Yeah. No, anyway, you cannot stay.
Maybe you do negative work.
You do something negative. For sure, you will never stay. You cannot stay. Mind is like that.
Correct. That
it
is
will
true.
Never allow you to do
that's
something.
That's why I said in theory.
Because you are not the body, you are the soul, and soul is always active.
Yeah, you you are always active. You want to do something.
Yeah.
The like idle mind is
devil's
workshop.
Yeah.
That's what it will happen.
Yeah.
You will be planning so many things.
Body is not working, but your mind will be working.
Right.
And mind is the one which controls.
Yeah.
Body doesn't do anything.
Right.
You know, for us, most of us, it's the mind which acts actually most of the time, not the intelligence.
Hey, that's true.
So anyway, so example of the student. So the student has to really put his effort. If he gets good grade, it's good. If he doesn't get, then he knows that's Krishna's plan. This I am talking about the person who has taken into devotional service. So one example is Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada was a very successful businessman, you know, after the marriage, everything. He had his own chemical business, right? He was a chemist. So then around 50 years like that, he started losing money. The business, you know, it was going in loss. But he's a very smart, right? Prabhupada, of course, he's a smart. So he tried so many ways to improve the business. But somehow, you know, whenever he tries more, bigger loss. And because he was brought up in the spiritual line, right? Of course, he was already initiated. But then he was trying, then it was going loss. But then because he was so conscious, then he understood it's Krishna's plan. Means Krishna has some other better engagement for him. So then, because all the kids are grown up, his kids were already grown up. So the kids can take care of wife. So then he took the vanaprastha stage. Because he understood that Krishna has some other plan. So then, of course, we know story after, you know, he took vanaprastha, then he went to Vrindavan. Then, you know, he was meditating how to spread the movement. Then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, 3 cantos. He was fully, you know, deeply meditating on the spreading the movement. Then we know it's all past now. So then we know all the past, right, whatever he has achieved. So then Krishna gives you the indication. If something, you know, so for a student, he doesn't have to get disappointed. So for us also same thing, we work 8 hours efficiently without, you know, wasting time or, you know, doing our duty. If you join, for example, Microsoft, you do your duty, whatever you get the deliverables, you deliver nicely. Then after that, you know, if you don't get promotion or, you know, somebody trying to put you down or something, of course you prove yourself. It's not that, you know, you become a quiet and dumb person kind of thing, you prove. But then you leave the results to Krishna. If you are sincere enough, Krishna is the one who awards, right? He is the one who awards everything. Even the leaf of grass doesn't move without his permission, Krishna's permission. So if you have that faith, then you can arise from the duality. So that's why in the last line, such disinterested obligatory duties doubtlessly lead one to the path of liberation. So once we really depend on, if you know the real shelter is Krishna, so if you take his shelter, then you will be saved. If we take all the false shelters, you go, you know, my friends, my relatives will help you, like that, you know, different shelters, you take different shelters, nobody can help.
Then you have to take the shelter only by doing your activities.
Yeah, do your activities and renown, giving up the result, not attached to the results.
So why does in the first paragraph it says one who is attached to the result of his work is also the cause of the action? What does that mean?
Which line probably?
I think the last paragraph, as the first paragraph, last but one line.
Arjuna to not be inactive, but the perform his prescribed duty without being attached to the result. One who is attached to the result
of his
work.
It's also the cause of the action.
So what's the action here? What happens if one is attached? What's going to be the next action will happen? For example, you are a pious person. So you do some pious activity or you do work and you are attached to your work. Like the results, you are attached to your results. So what's going to happen next for you?
Depends on whether the results are good or not. If it is good,
you are a pious person. So you get a money, you work money, then you enjoy the money. Or you know, you support like, you know, pious way. Then the action is, you're going to take birth. So in this, you are responsible for the action and the both. You will be the action and reaction. You do something, you're going to get reaction. So that again, that becomes action for, you know, it's like a cycle.
So being attached to the result really mean, you should not have an emotional attachment with the result. Is that what does attachment to the result mean?
Is it like exception? Like you are expecting something out of the result, out of the work?
No, for example,
expect is also an emotional.
No, for example,
right?
We work, we get salary. So what do we do with the salary? Let's talk in our ground level. For us, let's take us only example. So we work, we get the salary.
The salary, right? Because that's a result of mine.
No, you because you're doing your duty, right? So you have to get something in return for your duty. So you're going to get result. Salary is your result. But then what are you going to do with the result?
Okay, so if you spend that salary on yourself, that means you're at...
Of course, you're retired, right? You're sending on... You'll spend money for your own sake. For your own sake. It can be, you know, you can take it in any number of... It can be so many different ways. It can be...
Because, I mean, the other way to also see is, okay, I will do this work so that I will get some result. Is that also attachment to the result?
You do your... To the work?
I mean, I always have like an end goal in mind. Okay, I'm going to get this, that's why I will do this work.
Seeing every product has an end result in mind. If I don't say that I want to build this product like this, and it looks like this, and this is where I want to go, so...
Is that attachment?
I don't think this means result. That
is
not
attachment, right? This is your goal.
That depends.
No, but what are you going to do with the result you're going to get by performing that activity? See,
that's
let's forget about anything. Our general principle, this thing, ground level is, I work now. So I get a salary. What do I do with the salary? I can buy a big home. I can keep paying, you know, mortgage big home. So then I'm slowly already, you know, getting entangled more and more. Instead of that, I can live in a simple small place, which is more than sufficient, right? You don't need bigger home, right? You can have a small simple dwelling. You can use that and you can spend the money for the temple, you know, spreading Krishna consciousness, practical, you know, or making your, you know, family members, giving them the good, the foundation to make your, the family members allow Krishna conscious. Then you're not going to get reactions for those things. But of course, if I get a big home, then I want a next salary, I want to, you know, buy a big car. Like you keep adding your stuff, then of course you're slowly getting entangled. So the results, you can use it either way.
So you expect the results. Okay.
Of course,
but
how
you use the result is what at the end of the day.
That's all it matters actually. That's what Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight, right? Do his duty. But he's telling not to get attached to the result, whether he's going to kill his family members, or, you know, if he's going to die, don't get attached to whatever is going to happen. Just do your duty.
Maybe for every action, there will be something in return, either it's positive or...
No, there is next one, we will talk
like
about
Arjuna,
that. Good.
He did his job. After that,
good
there will
or bad.
Win or lose.
For us, yeah. At least for us, practically, that's how we can take, actually. So that's why, you know, in the next verse, I think text 50 or somewhere, we'll discuss, like, the work. For a transcendentalist, it's the same work. For a transcendentalist, it becomes a path of liberation. But for a person, like a materialistic person, it becomes path for entanglement. Same work, it's no difference. I can be working in same... I'm working and there are like, you know, 3-4 people in my group. I know everybody wants to buy a bigger home. And they will be always planning to buy a bigger car like that. You know, they already, because we talk, they tell what they want to do next like that. So I can differentiate there only. I don't want to buy anything. I want to actually reduce my, you know, the material things.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be simple to, you know, easier to practice devotional service. Instead of getting, you know, more anxiety. Right? So it can be so. So work is there. We have to do work. That's a prescribed duty. But how do you use it? That's what it matters. That's all about. So that's why it's called Krishna consciousness. It's all about consciousness. How you do things. Conscious. What's your consciousness? Whether you want to enjoy or you want to make Krishna enjoy. That's our consciousness. We can be enjoyer or we can be enjoyed. Or, you know, or we can be a predominator or you can be a predominated. Prabhupada mentions all this. Yeah, this is very important actually, because, you know, it's work, it's practical actually, you know, we have to apply at some point of time.
Arjuna was therefore advised by the Lord to fight as a matter of duty without attachment to the result. His non-participation in the battle is another side of attachment. Such attachment never leads one to the path of salvation. Any attachment, positive or negative, is cause for bondage. Inaction is sinful. Therefore, fighting as a matter of duty was the only auspicious path of salvation for Arjuna.
see any attachment, whether it can be a positive or negative, is cause for bondage. Inaction is sinful, Prabhupada is saying.
It's like both sides, you are just stuck.
Yeah, that's
you have to work, but you should not attach with it, and you cannot.
Especially work, because we are all, you know, grahasthas, we should learn how to use. See, we cannot say, as a grahastha, we have to work. That's our duty, prescribed duty. But we should learn the art, actually, how to work. And for that, we need training. And that's what Prabhupada is giving. How to work and what to do with the results. Otherwise, it becomes bondage. It's cause of bondage if you don't do it. And you can say, you know, I don't want to work, I don't want to do anything. Then Prabhupada is saying that inaction is sinful. That's even stronger word. Because you are not doing your prescribed duty, you are not taking care of your family members. There are so many dependents, right? Why is that inaction, right? By working, right, you can make, you know, you can help so much. Your family members, temples, everything. But if you become inaction, so you are not doing the duties. Basically you are, you know, so many people you are causing actually, you are not bringing them also to Krishna. You can be an instrument.
Other around, we are doing negative job.
You are, you know, this. So that's why Prabhupada is saying sinful.
So in the second paragraph, there are like, they say the prescribed duties, it can be fit in three subdivision. And they went on to explain, okay, routine work, how it becomes an action in the mode of goodness.
Routine work, it's obligation in terms of scriptural injections,
What about emergency and desired activities? I don't think there is an issue.
Let's check here. Emergency. I read somewhere, but I didn't make a note of it. Burijan Prabhu also doesn't talk about it.
Okay.
I'll find it out.
So never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. Is it kind of saying that
credit.
Don't be...
Yeah.
Is it about taking credit or being responsible? Like, I did something wrong or... I do a job, but I'm really bad at it, right? But then I follow this philosophy and I say, look, I just did this.
Yeah.
I'm not
I don't know what came out of that, but I
don't know what came out of it, you know. But
that's why. But
I'm not attached to the results. I won't take any feedback because
you are not doing prescribed duties.
Yeah.
If you are doing prescribed duties, then
I don't know I'm doing wrong. I'm not capable, right? I'm just.
Why you
like,
don't
let's
know if you're doing wrong?
And I write really bad code, right? So
then you will be fired.
And the data center goes down because of me. Like, I mean.
No, then you will be fired. You know, people are going to fire you.
The reaction will come
automatically.
You are not a prescribed duty.
Because this seems like to be saying I don't care attitude, right? I mean, I'll do whatever I am, but I don't care what the results. I mean,
then that becomes a capricious work. That's what Prabhupada is saying.
Yeah,
it's become a capricious
work. So it's like don't do impulsive stuff.
Yeah, that's a capricious work.
Based on my vocabulary.
So never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, right?
See, the results, see, basically in this age, what we do usually, generally is, I do something, I think I am I should get the result, because I think I am the doer. Basically it's a doer mentality. But Krishna is the one who actually rewards the results, not us. It's, you know, through material nature based on the modes, that's how you get the result. You are not the cause of the result. Basically here what it means is, don't think you are the doer, don't have the doer mentality. That's how we can take, you know. Of course you can, you know, twist. That's what people do, that one, no? That's what I said, first line they take and they miss other the three lines, they don't consider. If you take in a context, so first thing is, you do your prescribed duty, but then don't get attached to the results. That's the main for us.
Don't expect the result. He's not saying don't expect the result. He's saying don't get attached to the result.
Attached to the result.
No, but the second line is never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. That is the one that is
the doer. That's why it's a doer. So you, for example, you work at now. Right now, we do something, but then we all the time we say, "I did this because of me. I got the result."
Credit, right?
We take the credit. Don't that's very.
The negative side of this is like if I did something and something bad happened, then even then they come.
That is what that's. It's written. That's your bank balance, right?
Isn't no, if you do nice work.
If I do nice work, this is kind of okay.
I mean, like Prabhupada, when he was having
don't
the losses.
About
yes.
it. If I do bad work,
yes.
even then it is if
no, no,
you don't think bad about
at
it.
At your level, you did good, but ultimately it is not.
The result was bad.
Bad.
Like Prabhupada yes. has the loss, right? I mean, then he prescribed that to saying, okay, Krishna had something in mind. That's
see, Prabhupada
happened.
Did not give up.
Yeah,
he
right?
tried from, like, you know, 42 years or something. It was failing, his business, one by one. But he never gave up. He tried, if you read his Leelamrita, if you read Leelamrita, the Prabhupada Leelamrita, right, his life history or life story, he never gave up. He actually shifted from one city to other city to just, you know, to make the business because he wanted to become one of the, you know, big industrialist kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was his kind of one goal he had. But then Krishna was always putting him down. He tried something, he went to different city, he tried, no, he lost money. Then at some point he understood whatever he tried, it's not working. So what is there? Then he started realizing that there is something else. Maybe, you know, he should listen, you know, he will get the, you know, that intuition. Something else is there, something, you know, I want to do something else. So he got a very clear message. And of course, it comes through devotee. Somebody will tell you, you know, maybe you should try this, like that. You get intuitions or some people will, you know, give you the pointers. Basically, here you don't think you are the doer. That's the whole thing. But you have to do nicely duty. Yeah, that's not the excuse.
There is this character called Yoda and he says there is no try. There is no
like
do
or not.
There is no try.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know the
same.
Yeah.
That's the because work, yeah.
He's a
light. Light
rope. Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya.
So in the second, in the first, sorry, we are like, I know we are taking a long time. So in the first paragraph, in the first, in the second sentence, it says, prescribed duties are activities enjoined in terms of one's acquired modes of material nature. So there are like
that's
three, modes material,
hmm.
three modes of material nature, right?
Yeah. So
does the prescribed duty actually change from one mode to the other?
Yes.
Like
brahmanas.
Which, okay.
Yeah,
no, but
for example,
no, but the three modes
are sattvas,
tamas.
Yeah. Goodness, mode of goodness,
good,
passion,
yeah.
passion,
yeah.
passion,
goodness,
right.
passion.
So
varnashrama, all this category of people, they fall in one of these categories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
So
okay.
three modes are considered like, you know, the paint.
Yeah.
What is the three primary colors?
RBG
or RGB something, right?
Red,
RGB.
Red, green, RGB.
So you mix all of them, then how many varieties you can get? How many variations? Thousands, right?
Yeah.
Millions, I think. I don't know. Millions. So like that, the mode of a person depends on these three modes. So
yeah.
person will have any of this will be one will be predominated. Like, you know, some person will be very in the mode of goodness.
Oh.
But then you will have mix of passion and ignorance. So that's how all of us, we are built like that. We have some quality, you know, we are in one of this mix of category. But one mode will be predominated like that. So like that, brahmanas, especially they are meant to be in mode of goodness, that dominates them. Then of course, you know, kshatriyas are passion always, you know. And vaishyas, they are considered passion and ignorance. And shudras, mostly in ignorance and all of us. Because Prabhupada said in the purport, we are all foolish. And the general population is foolish. That's what, because we are actually. We have wasted so much time. And you know, that's why we are considered, actually we are considered even below Shudras. That's our thing.
So we have to just do the first one, right? The prescribed duty, that's it. And out of these three, in action, in the first paragraph only.
Prescribed duties?
Yeah, you should do your duty, correct.
Yes,
but
that's according to scriptures.
This is
confusing.
Which mode?
No, that's why you are Shudra, right? I told we are all Shudra.
We are modest fixed man.
No, that's Prabhupada has told many times actually. You know, we are all Shudras because we
you
work
don't have
for
luxury
somebody.
Of mode.
Yeah,
so
we don't
what
have.
What you do is what you have luxury.
Yeah,
that's the keyword that we have.
But in that the best of this one is Krishna consciousness. You a Shudra can get elevated, go back to Godhead.
Like Chandala, like in the previous one.
Yeah, we can all go back to Godhead.
The previous verse is
Doggy. But anyway, so the main thing is just, you know, remember that if anybody says rest, you know, I have the duty, so I keep working all day and night. But what about the
results.
Fruits, results. So you can always say, you know, what's about the next line? Are you doing that?
But this is just two lines like a big enough for whole life to follow.
Yeah, that's why it takes like time actually.
So whenever like you mentioned that this verse is misstated, I think it's like first two lines is always told, right?
Only one line. They will not say, but yeah, that's only one line. Only first line.
Never be considered as the cause of the results. Never
be considered as the cause.
Okay, Prabhuji, I think that's all I. Of course, we know we have to do the detached work, and we have to be satisfied. You know, there is a saying, right? You stretch your legs. Kannada, there is a nice saying.
Say, you stretch your legs, then what?
No, much here is bed
chadar.
Or something.
Chadar.
Chadar.
I understood that. So say the saying. I'm saying repeat
in Hindi.
Don't stretch your leg beyond, you know, the.
Saying
ko batao. Kya? Say the saying. Hindi mein batao. What is it?
Apni chadar dekh ke pair phailao.
That's all I
ask. That's
all I ask.
Chadar dekh ke pair phailao.
Amiji is intelligent to art.
I'm just asking what it is to do because I'm not.
Prabhupada is just a core line, no mixing.
Don't tell me anything, just give me.
As it is.
And Prabhupada says if we don't create time for God, and God will also not create time for you. He will say, I don't have time.
So I was just thinking about this, Prabhupada. So almost everyone, right, in some way or other, even including the atheists, they want God. Right, everyone here
yeah.
is wanting
some
God. So then, in one way or the other, right? So they all want God. So you know, how are you going to be? What is your unique selling perspective? Why should he be interested in?
Why should God want you? Right?
Yeah.
How atheists want God?
One way, you argue with any atheist, if you start defeating them in multiple purposes, ultimately they'll throw this point at you. Okay, show me now God. All this is okay. Now show me God. What do you do now? So they also want to see God. It's like saying, I don't want it, I don't want it, in the hope that you will get it, like that, right? So
okay, let's see 4:11 actually, 4th chapter 11th verse. Yeah, because he makes it very clear this point. Because if we don't make time for God, basically doing our devotional service, and Lord also will say, no, I don't have time.
In what context did you mention that?
No, work basically. You know, you say, work, I'm busy at work.
Oh.
So you're not making time to, you know, engage in devotional service. So then, of course, Lord will also say, you know, I keep working.
I'm also busy.
I'm also busy. Because Lord is even more busier than us.
I have to take care of Swami because God
is
taking
care of us, even though.
Of course, he is
the
main.
Other way around as well. Means even though
see, without his maintenance, he is because
yes.
he is a maintainer,
yes.
protector,
every
and
moment.
Everything. Every, of course, life air is, you know, it's
yes.
like, but we don't give the credit to him. So we say, you know.
Maybe like a premium line, we will not be into the premium line.
Yeah, like father, if you take father and a son, right? So the father always, of course, you know, even some son leaves home and goes away, but father always thinks about
yeah.
son. So like Lord also, he always
good
thinks.
Or bad, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, any parent, right? If you take
yeah.
any parent, it doesn't matter whether, you know, they see still that son or, you know, as a good person. Father for a father, it's still, you know. So like that, Lord also, you know, we are all right now, you know, we are turning our back and going, walking away, like, you know, showing back. then Lord, but Lord always thinks. And he gives opportunity as his father, he gives. So 4:11, Eyatamam Prapadyante. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pita. So how much ever we give time, energy, whatever, same thing, Lord will also reciprocate accordingly. So that's the...
But at the same time, there was this example of Ajamila, right?
Hmm.
Where he didn't give any time.
Oh, he did. His whole life.
And his son's name was Narayana, that's why in the last
one... No,
he practiced... In that life itself, he was a Pakka Brahmana. He did lot of things.
He got distracted in the end.
He got distracted slowly.
For the last year.
He got distracted, then, you know, he went to prostitute,
mm-hmm.
Then he got his son, Narayana, like that. But he was a pious person, actually. He was a very Pakka pious person.
But actually, Velugudi Swami was saying that, you know, it's not like you say Narayana and you are done, actually. So the thing is that he realized his mistake. He realized that all this time that he was doing all this nonsense instead of thinking him, and he was crying when the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas were arguing, he was repenting. That is the repentance that caused him to go.
But in order to get that itself, you have to really devote a lot of time in your life in order to
come. Because those, what you call, I forgot the term. See, we have sanskaras, right? It's called sanskaras.
Yeah.
So basically our previous generation has created the sanskaras for us. So that's why we are born in kind of, you know, little bit pious families like that. But with our activities, we usually, you know, we are not passing that to the next generation. You understand, right? Like our parents, if you take grandparents and all, they were more pious than us. So then we lose that samskara. So then you will not be able to pass on to the next generation. Then, of course, you know, it becomes more difficult to remember the God. At least because of our parents and all, this time we got the opportunity. Like I keep telling you, right? Because of your father's and mother's service attitude, you have got that actually same attitude. That's what I remember when you went to jail. He's so helpful, your father, every time. Okay, probably we'll do text 48 because it is also related to. Then how should one do? That's what the next one is saying. Next text 48.
Yogastha Guru Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya Siddhiya Siddhiyo Samogutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. Yogastha Guru Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya Siddhiya Siddhiyo Samogutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate.
Perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga.
Perform your prescribed duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. Wow, it's the definition for yoga. What's the... We have heard so many yogas, right? Hatha yoga, red... What is? Hot yoga?
Hot yoga.
But here it looks like it's... this is... The real meaning is here. It's called yoga. Prabhupada is...
Perform your duty equipoised. What is equipoised?
Actually, you don't waver. You're always, you know, fixed.
Poison calm.
You're calm, like, you know, your mind is fixed, peaceful. Calm.
Calm, composed.
Calm, composed.
Keep calm, carry on.
Equipoised.
Equipoised means equally.
You will never get disturbed.
Poised of this
one. Okay, Prabhu, we can read the purport. We'll see.
Purport. Krishna tells Arjuna that he should aim in yoga. And what is that yoga? Yoga means to concentrate the mind upon the Supreme by controlling the ever-disturbing senses. And who is the Supreme? The Supreme is the Lord. And because he himself is telling Arjuna to fight, Arjuna has nothing to do with the result of the fight. Gain or victory are Krishna's concern. Arjuna is simply advised to act according to the dictation of Krishna. The following of Krishna's dictation is the real yoga, and this is practiced in the process called Krishna consciousness. By Krishna consciousness only can one give up the sense of proprietorship. One has to become the servant of Krishna, or the servant of the servant of Krishna. That is the right way to discharge the duty in Krishna consciousness, which alone can help one to act in yoga. Arjuna is Kshatriya, and as such he is participating in Varnashrama Dharma institution. It is said in Vishnu Purana that the Varnashrama Dharma, the whole aim is to satisfy Vishnu. No one should satisfy himself, is the rule in the material world, but one should satisfy Krishna. So unless one satisfies Krishna, one cannot correctly observe the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Indirectly, Arjuna was advised to act as Krishna told him.
So here we really understand the meaning of yoga, right? So if somebody says yoga and all, so these are all false things. People have, it's a makeup, no? They have made it up, all this, you know, yoga thing. Actual yoga means you realize the relationship, what relationship you have with the Lord. So it's basically a link, that relationship. You create, you know, you realize that link, what link you have with the Supreme Lord. That's called yoga. That's the real definition of yoga. And of course, once you realize, you have to act on that. And here Prabhupada is saying that, you know, you are not the proprietor, you are the eternal servant. We are always the servant. So that's our relationship. Once you realize that, you act on it, then of course automatically you will become Sachidananda. You always, you know, become happy and blissful.
So when you say yoga, this is the bhakti yoga.
No, yoga is bhakti yoga, yes, that's the only thing.
But there is the Ashtanga yoga also, right? Ashtanga,
yeah.
So the final destination is Samadhi, isn't it? The eighth part is Samadhi, which is like again merging.
That's a stage, but they also, you know, finally they will also come to the Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah.
Is that some people get attracted to that, but for them also Ashtanga Yoga, later they realize the Bhakti Yoga. They will also come to the slowly, the gradually.
This is Bhakti Yoga, is a shorter ladder. I think the ladder example is really given, isn't it? There are so many ways to go to God, but Bhakti Yoga is the shortest.
Yes. You can take the elevator process,
yeah,
to Bhakti
Yoga. The elevator process is very long.
It's simple. It's high.
Yeah.
Too many floors.
It's called Prabhu Sharanagati. Marjaniya Sharanagati or something, right? So Bhakti Yoga is like the kitten. The Lord takes care. The other yogas, you have to hold tight. You don't know where you fall.
Yeah, the yogis, they are like monkeys.
Yeah.
Compared
what
to monkeys.
What is that called? What is that Sharanagati called?
Surrender.
No, what is that Sharanagati? The monkey type surrender. What is that called? The cat type surrender is called Marjaniya Sharanagati. So Marjaniya.
No, there is other word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, you act on your own strength. Like Ashtanga Yoga, you practice on your own strength.
Yeah.
But in Bhakti Yoga, it depends on the Lord. So that way, you are compared to the kitten. And here also it said that Varnashrama institution, that's the whole thing, the practice to satisfy Vishnu. And of course Krishna is the one who created the Varnashrama Dharma also. In Srimad Bhagavatam it very clearly says. Okay. Any questions from
me? So what is this? By Krishna consciousness only can one give up the sense of proprietorship.
Yeah, because we are the only one who are telling people that we know we are the eternal servants of the Lord. Nobody clearly, where do you, at least I never heard that, you know, I am the eternal servant of the Lord. I didn't learn anywhere. At least once we read the Bhagavad Gita, then only I came to know that, you know, we are the eternal. They say dasanu dasanu das, that's our eternal, we are the,
okay,
our, that's our constitutional position, the eternal servant. And we are right now, it said that, you know, because we are here in the material world, because we wanted to
enjoy.
And who will enjoy? Who can enjoy?
Only
the proprietor can enjoy. Servants cannot enjoy.
So you have to just correct that.
Huh?
You have to just correct that mistake.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. So Krishna is the only enjoyer. And we also wanted to be, you know, enjoyers. So that's why we came here. So we can be enjoyed. Then but we see, if the master is satisfied, automatically the servant is also satisfied, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like when my father was there, like, you know, there are a few workers who used to come to our place to work. And of course my father used to take care of them so nicely. We never differentiate. At least I grew up and there was one servant. I never called him a servant. My father also, he never told, you know, he's a servant. Because he used to take care of him so nicely. He was a family member actually. We never differentiated him. So same thing here. So if you satisfy Krishna, automatically we will also get satisfied. It's not that, you know, servant means Krishna will make you as a servant, like, you know, beating all this. It's not like that. Servant means it's in a good term. Yeah, it's like, you know, good servant.
It's not like a slave.
Yeah, it's not like a slave. That's a good term. It's not, you know, like you're a slave. Servant means it's good. You serve your master, then automatically you will also be, you will also be happy. It's not that you will be miserable.
That is it.
Being the servant.
That's the best happiness.
Yeah.
For servant.
Yeah. And of course, as Prabhu is mentioning, that's the best position to be in. So you don't have to carry, have the headache. Right? You're always protected by the master. So that's the best position to be in actually, servant.
Yeah, in the past you have given an example, right? Like when servant is cooking for you, first it will offer to the proprietor and then they will eat. It's not like any servant is cooking for you, they will not eat first and
you offer it to the. That's all right, Prabhu. Any questions? Okay.
I know the indirect part. How is he indirectly asking him as Krishna told him? Arjuna was advised to act as Krishna told him. Will not be there.
The last
entry. So unless one satisfies Krishna, one cannot correctly observe the principle of Varnashrama Dharma. Indirectly, Arjuna was advised to act as Krishna told him. Maybe because he was giving so many reasons, right? Like he didn't. I think Arjuna was giving so many reasons not to fight. But then Krishna has to give him all the different stages. You know, whatever that Sankhya philosophy or even before that, you know, karma, what he has to explain him everything. Maybe that's, I don't know what context Prabhupada is using here. I don't know indirectly what context he is using.